Am avut noaptea trecută un incident grav în care doi cetățeni români au fost răniți și întreaga responsabilitate pentru acest incident revine Rusiei, o țară care duce un război de agresiune de mai bine de 4 ani împotriva Ucrainei. Față de această situație, consulul general al Federației Ruse la Constanța a fost declarat persona non grata și Consulatul General al Rusiei, al Federației Ruse la Constanța se va închide.
Кто в Румынии говорит о том, что это российский дрон? Многие это никто. Конкретно имена.
Урсула фон дер
Ляйен. Не знаю, госпожа фон дер Ляйен не была же в Румынии. Она же не исследовала останки этого дрона. Никто не может сказать, какого происхождение тот или другой летательный аппарат до тех пор, пока не проведена экспертиза этого летательного аппарата. Ведь мы знаем, что и в Финляндию залетали украинские дроны, и в Польшу, и куда-то в страны Прибалтики залетали украинские дроны. Первая реакция была точно такая же, как сейчас вот в Румынии. Вот караул, русские идут, русские бьют. Потом через короткое время выяснялось, что ничего общего с российскими летательными аппаратами это не имеет, а это дроны украинского происхождения, они сбились с курса, они под воздействием РЭП или еще по каким-то причинам из-за несовершенства технических данных туда залетели и там упали. Происходит угроза.
Taking place, what will happen? Well, every place from where the direct military threat is emanated towards Russia, it's a lawful, legal target for us.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, May the 29th, coming to you from Moskva. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with the main news topics for this Friday, let me say a quick thank you to everyone that is liking this video. Thank you to everyone that is subscribed to this channel or will subscribe to this channel. To everyone commenting on my videos, thank you so much for your amazing comments. And to everyone that is smashing that hype button. Feels so good to smash that hype button, doesn't it? Yes, it feels so good to smash the hype. Thank you so much for hyping up this video. Let's talk about the drone that crashed into Romanian, in Romanian territory, into a residential apartment building. No one was killed, thank God, from this drone that crashed in Romania. It did injure two people, I believe minor injuries, and it damaged this residential apartment building. But the Romanian authorities, they are already saying that this is a Russian drone, and the EU and NATO, they have quickly come out with statements on social media condemning Russia, condemning Russian aggression, saying that they stand united with Romania. They will protect every inch of NATO and EU territory. And in the case of Ursula von der Leyen, she wanted to also announce that the EU is preparing a 21st sanctions package. So she threw that in there as well. Here's what Ursula said. Russia's war of aggression has crossed yet another line. A Russian drone incursion struck a densely populated area in Romania, injuring civilians on EU territory. We stand in full solidarity with Romania and its people, and we continue strengthening our security and deterrence, especially on our eastern border. We will keep increasing the pressure on Russia. We are preparing a 21st package of sanctions. She threw that in right at the end. Very excited. She's very excited about the 21st sanctions package. But yeah, they're going to protect every inch of EU territory, even though the EU is not a country. It's just a bunch of treaties. bunch of treaties hammered out by lawyers, but they're going to protect every inch of those legal treaties. And of course, Ursula stands in full solidarity with the people of Romania. Yeah, so most likely this drone was brought down by electronic warfare or jamming knocked down this drone or crash landed this drone in Romania, and it's one drone, I believe, is what we're talking about. Russia has not issued any statement, actually, the Russian Ministry of Defense or any Russian ministry or top level official. They haven't even talked about this drone that landed, crash landed in Romania, but it most likely was Russian. It could be a decoy though as well. Zelensky and Ukraine, they have used decoy drones in the past. Drones that landed in EU territory, in NATO territory, and they ended up being Ukrainian-Russian decoys in order to get some sort of Article 5 triggered. We're not going to get an Article 5 out of this. That's not going to happen. I believe from the U.S., we've only had a statement from the NATO ambassador, Whitaker. Trump hasn't said anything about this. No Truth Social post from U.S. President Trump. Rubio is not saying anything about this yet. Maybe they will issue a statement. All of the EU cool kids are sounding off. BlackRock Mertz said the drone strike in Romania once again demonstrates Russia's willingness to escalate. Germany stands by the side of our NATO allies. The incident shows once more we need a strong NATO presence on the eastern flank. We are prepared to defend the alliance's territory. Yeah, they need a strong NATO presence on the eastern flank. That's how they're going to capitalize on this incident. More money to NATO, more money to NATO's eastern flank. So that's how they're going to take advantage of this drone incident in Romania. Fico is saying that what we need is talks with Russia, because one of these days something is going to happen that will possibly trigger an Article 5. And so we need to prevent that. And the way we can prevent that as NATO is to talk to Russia. So Romania's president, Nico Surdan, is calling a defense council meeting over the unprecedented Russian drone crash. They didn't go this crazy, did they, when the Green Goblin 3 years ago, 4 years ago, fired an S-300 or two S-300s into Poland, which actually did kill two farmers, I want to say, or three farmers, three civilians. And at first they were saying this was a Russian missile, but then it was found out later that it was actually a misfired Ukrainian, I want to say S-300, that landed in Poland and actually did lead to the death of civilians. They didn't want to talk about that. Once they found out it was Ukrainian, everyone in the collective West just shut up. But in this instance, they're going to call a defense council meeting. They want to discuss this unprecedented drone crash landing in Romania. So Medvedev, he put out a statement basically saying that given what the West is doing, what Europe is doing with drones, they should just shut up about this. That was basically, I'm summarizing what he said. I don't think I have it bookmarked, but his point, Medvedev's point in all of this is basically that Europe, the EU, has drone facilities, drone manufacturing facilities, and they're manufacturing the drones, and they're shipping them to Ukraine. They're sending them to Ukraine, maybe sending them to Ukraine, and they end up in Ukraine, and those drones are used to attack Russian territory, internationally recognized Russian territory. And so Medvedev's point was just be quiet about one drone landing in Romania, because what you guys are doing by sending thousands and thousands of drones, manufacturing thousands and thousands of drones, and then sending them to Ukraine so they can attack us is much more severe, much worse, much more provocative. But anyway, that's the drone incident. We'll get a lot of meetings. Rutte also called up Dan, and he also expressed NATO's unity and solidarity with Romania, and NATO is with the people of Romania as they go through this very difficult time. And difficult time because of the drone and Russian aggression and all that stuff. That was the message from Rutte. They're just going to use this to pump in more money to NATO. And they're going to say it's about protecting the eastern flank. So more money to drone manufacturing, more money to the MIC, more money to NATO, more money into the EU. That's what this is all about as they ramp up the preparations, the escalation for a conflict, what they say is going to be a conflict by 2030. So Lavrov, he responded, kind of responded, to Studding and Brave's set of terms that she put out there yesterday as she's in Cyprus taking part in a foreign ministers, an EU foreign ministers meeting. I think that's what her Cyprus trip is about. Or maybe she's just hanging out in Cyprus to soak up some of the sun and get a tan or something like that. I don't know. But nah, it's a foreign ministers meeting, like an EU foreign ministers meeting or something like that in Cyprus, which holds the rotating presidency. And so Stunning and Brave, she basically listed the EU terms. If Europe, if the EU is going to negotiate with Russia, then they've got demands, right? And those demands, according to Kallas, is that the military needs to scale down. Russia's military needs to scale down to acceptable levels for Europe. Their nuclear arsenal also needs to be disarmed and scaled down or something like that, she said. And then she said that the Russian military needs to withdraw from Georgia and from Moldova, referencing Transnistria, Abkhazia, South Ossetia, stuff like that. So that's her list of demands. And in exchange for Russia accepting her list of demands, the EU will then negotiate with Russia on Ukraine. The interesting part about this entire story about the EU negotiating with Russia is that Russia never invited the EU to negotiate, right? They never came out with a statement and said, we want the EU to negotiate with us. Putin said that he's willing to talk to the Europeans. He didn't say, I'm ready to negotiate terms with the Europeans. That was never his statement. If the Europeans want to talk, I'm ready to talk to them. I mean, okay, send someone to Moscow to talk to me. I suggest Gerhard Schroeder if the Europeans want to talk. It wasn't framed as negotiations for Ukraine, or at least I don't think it was. But all of a sudden, the EU has kind of twisted and turned this into Russia wanting to negotiate with the EU. And in exchange for the EU agreeing to negotiate with Russia, Russia has to accept Kallas's terms. But anyway, Lavrov, my nose is running, it's cold today. There's music playing over there, but I want to walk over there. Anyway, we'll get there. Lavrov responded to Kallas's demands by saying, and I want to get this quote right. He said, look, I'm not discussing idiotic statements. That's it. I'm not going to waste my time on this stupidity, is basically what Lavrov said. Maria Zaharova also responded to Kallas's demands, saying that the EU diplomat sounded as though she was talking to herself. Yeah, Eve Smith on Naked Capitalism summed it up best when describing the discussions and the negotiations that the EU pretends to prepare for or take part in. It's just between themselves, right? They negotiate amongst themselves. They go to their conferences. They negotiate amongst themselves, and then they come out with some statements, but they never really negotiate with any adversaries or the other side or an opposite party. They never really negotiate with that party. They negotiate and they discuss between themselves, and then they come out with some sort of a resolution between themselves, right? So nothing really gets solved. But that's Lavrov. That's Kallas. Let me lower the audio a bit, because people are practicing actually dance routines, which is nice. Very nice to see people dancing. Okay, so Peskov, he said that there is going to be no Europe negotiation or no Europe mediation when it comes to the conflict in Ukraine. Peskov said that Europe is a party to this conflict, so why would we have them mediating? Russia's been saying this for the better part of 4 years. We're not going to mediate. We're not going to have a mediator that's also a party to this conflict. Every time that Macron would float out some sort of mediation or some sort of discussion with Russia or something like that, Russia would always say, why would we have you taking part in discussions or sitting at the table with us if we're talking to the United States? Why would we want you there, Macron? Because you're a party to this conflict, which is interesting because, to be fair and objective, Russia does speak with the United States, and the United States is running this proxy war. But then again, the United States is the sovereign, is the master. The Europeans are the vassal, and the United States is a superpower and an important country for Russia to engage diplomacy with and to discuss with. And Europe simply is not, right? So, I mean, you know, there's a reason why Russia is talking to the United States while they're not bothering with Europe, even though it is the entirety of the collective West that is waging this proxy war against Russia. At the end of the day, talking to the Europeans achieves nothing because the Europeans can't really make a decision on anything anyway. So why waste your time talking to them? If you are going to talk to anybody, you are going to talk to the United States, who at least can make decisions when it comes to the proxy war against Russia in Ukraine. So we move on to Shoigu, who was at the International Security Forum in Moscow. And Shoigu, he was asked about the recent warnings, statements from the Kremlin about targeting Kiev and how diplomats and foreign citizens are advised to leave Kiev, to leave the capital, and how the Europeans are not taking this seriously. They think this is just another Russian bluff. And Shoigu's statement was, take this seriously. Take these warnings very seriously. The warning to ambassadors to leave Kiev was made entirely seriously and deliberately, because in any event, it could happen at any moment if and when we deem that the response must be delivered, in reference to a strike into Kiev, to more strikes into Kiev, targeting decision-making centers and military facilities. So we have in Kazakhstan, at this moment, we have the Eurasian Economic Forum, the main event that is taking place in Astana. Putin was in Kazakhstan on the 27th. And today we have in bilateral meetings, and today he is taking part in the Eurasian Economic Forum, along with presidents and leaders from the Eurasian countries, with the exception of one leader that is not present. The country is represented, but the leader is not there, and we are talking about Pashinyan from Romania. He is represented by the deputy prime minister. No surprise there. Pashinyan has made his decision. He is moving Armenia towards the European Union, towards NATO. And he's trying to stay. They're trying to stay into the Eurasian Economic Union at least as long as they can. You can't be a member of both, but he's trying to remain in the Union, the Eurasian Union, for as long as he can keep it going. Eventually, he's going to have to make a choice. That decision is probably coming fairly soon, and Pashinyan will, without a doubt, go the route of the EU and of NATO. He's probably just waiting for the elections to wrap up, and if he wins, he probably will win. Even though I've been to Yerevan about a dozen times, and I have yet to meet one person that likes Pashinyan. Of course, it's anecdotal. Obviously, I'm not running polls and surveys when I'm in Yerevan, but everyone I talk to in Yerevan, whenever the subject of Pashinyan comes up, usually they bring up the subject. He's absolutely despised. But anyway, there must be a large part of the population that thinks he's doing a good job, because he probably will win, but who knows, maybe not. Anyway, he's got the support of President DJT, who actually posted on Truth Social, and this is not election interference, of course, because the United States is doing. Can you imagine if Putin posted something on social media, which he doesn't post on social media, but could you imagine if he posted something or made a statement expressing his support, endorsing a candidate of any country, right? Can you imagine the freak out from the collective West? Russian interference, Russian election interference. But President Trump comes out and does it, and no one's saying anything. Pashinyan thanked Trump for his support. He said it is friendly words is what he called it. High appreciation of friendly words. Here's what Trump said. Prime Minister Pashinyan of Armenia, a great friend and leader in making his country strong, wealthy, and very secure. Nicole completely shares my vision of peace and prosperity for Armenia and the entire South Caucasus region. Our Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, just traveled to Armenia, where he advanced several important deals for our country. Soon, the United States of America will break ground together on the Trump route for international peace and prosperity, which will transform the South Caucasus and help our wonderful American energy companies gain access from Central Asia all the way to the United States. For these reasons, Nicole has my complete and total endorsement for re-election on June 7th. With Nicole's help, we will bring the United States, Armenia, the South Caucasus, and Central Asia to greater heights than ever before. Make Armenia great again. MAGA, President Donald J. Trump. So it's all about energy. It's always about energy. And he's talking about the corridor that will cross Azerbaijan and cross under through Armenia, and I think end up towards Turkey. Am I getting my map right? Maybe I'm getting my geography right. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. I don't know. But anyway, it's always about energy. And the United States getting a foothold in the South Caucasus. Armenia playing with fire. Playing with fire in the U.S. Trying to get a big-time foothold in a region that they should not be in. Let me put it that way. A region that they should stay out of. But there you have it. A Trump endorsement. By the way, Pashinyan, and I don't know if this quote is accurate. It's attributed to Pashinyan. I really don't know if he said this because I can't find it referenced anywhere. So take it as rumor. But allegedly, Pashinyan said that Armenia doesn't need to fear possible high prices, as Armenia will soon have a lot of money and visa-free travel to the EU. Maybe he said that, maybe he didn't. But what a statement, huh? Yep, be careful what you wish for. The EU will give you visa-free travel, and that'll replace energy and oil, gas, all the trade with Russia. The visa-free travel, that'll do the trick. All right, let's move on. For whom the bell tolls. All right, Pashinyan. Putin, in his address to those in attendance at the forum, he noted that almost all of the trade that is now taking place between the Eurasian countries is done outside of the USD. And the trade is increasing in Eurasia. So the de-dollarization that continues. Ursula is trying to take on China, trade with China. She is gearing up for a fight, according to Politico. And what she is going to be asking European Union member states to do is to stop subsidizing Chinese imports. That's what I want to say. Stop subsidizing imports from China. This is going to be Ursula's big ask of EU member states, which is going to be very problematic for Spain, for Germany. Germany is trying to keep a balance to export into China, but also importing many things from China. Much of German industry supply chain is dependent on goods from China. Many German companies, or at least what's left of the German companies, are dependent on the Chinese market. Sanchez was just in China. He signed many, many deals with China. France is pushing for this initiative, along with Van der Pyret. France is saying that Chinese goods are destroying the French economy. Of course, as you read through the analysis on this EU initiative to start blocking trade with China, which is effectively what they're trying to do. Stop subsidizing Chinese goods. As you read through all of this, nowhere in this analysis or these articles do you read any mention of the EU's terrible economic state being attributed to the sanctions. They don't mention the sanctions cutting off Russian energy, how cutting off Russian energy has rendered EU businesses non-competitive. None of that is mentioned. It's now blame China. Now the way to deal with the deindustrialization of Europe is to begin to cut trade with China. That's going to work out really well for the European Union. This has to be deliberate. This has to all be deliberate. You can't be this incompetent. Impossible. Politico talks about von der Leyen's fight over China trade ties. The European Commission president has long wanted to protect key industries against Beijing, but not everyone is on board. And in the article, it talks about how the EU feels it has new tools to take on China. Van der Leyen's own officials aren't all on the same page yet either. So they bring up the tools. We've got tools. When I read that, I kind of laughed a bit. We've got tools. It's always about the tools that they have. Use them tools on China, Ursula. Use them tools. Yeah, we'll see how China responds, which will cause a freak out in Germany when they start to cut German supply chains. Yeah, that's going to work out well for Germany. Anyway, we have a quick update on Iran. Very quick update. J.D. Vance was interviewed by the media about what is going on with Iran. He said the same stuff that Trump has been saying. We're close to a deal. We're close to opening Hormuz. But Iran needs to want a deal, and they want a deal, but they have to open up Hormuz to get a deal. The same back and forth that we've been talking about for the past 30 days. That's pretty much what J.D. Vance said. Nothing different than what Trump goes on and on about. But we do have one significant update, an important update, which is that Iran's parliament and the National Security Committee of Iran's parliament said that they do not intend to transfer enriched uranium to a third country. So they have now ruled out the transfer of uranium, not so much to the United States, that was never going to happen, but when they mean a third country, they could be talking about Russia and China, which would have been a very simple solution to this conflict if this was really about uranium. But it's not about the enriched uranium. But if it was about the enriched uranium, then a very simple, quick, easy solution that would have ended the conflict in a matter of hours would have been to send that uranium to Russia or China. Conflict over, blockade lifted, Hormuz opened, voila. But it's not about enriched uranium. And yesterday you had Trump saying that he would not go for Russia or China taking the enriched uranium, or the uranium dust as he calls it, and now you have the parliament saying, you know what, we're not going to transfer our uranium to a third country anyway. So it's starting to rain. Let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up today's video as we walk by an Azbuka supermarket, which is 24 hours. I don't know why I wanted to mention that, but I thought I would mention that. Not that anyone cares. How about Clown World? Does anyone care about Clown World? Let's talk about Bidenopolis. Greece is favorite son. Well, Jill Bidenopoulos, Greece's favorite daughter. And she was giving an interview to CBS News. And she talked about the debate with Trump. And how she thought that her husband had suffered a stroke. I'd never seen Joe like that before, Jill said, adding that she thought at the time, oh my God, he's having a stroke. And it scared me to death. That was the same debate that when it was over, I don't know if you guys remember, Jill was speaking to the Biden supporters, and she addressed Joe Biden, and she said, you did really good, Joe. I'm really proud of you. You did really, really good. Remember that debate? Now she is claiming that, well, she is stating to CBS News that she actually thought that Joe suffered a stroke. And of course, Trump latched on to this statement from Jill Biden. And why is that one green and this one red? What is going on here? Kind of a strange light is this. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. All right. Now I'm crossing. That was bizarre. So let me read you what... Let's go down this way. Let me read you what Trump posted on Truth Social. Maybe get under this tree for a little bit of protection. Trump posted, Jill Biden is now... Jill Biden. Sometimes it sounds like I'm saying Joe Biden. Jill Biden is now out there finally admitting that she did not know what went wrong with Sleepy Joe during our spectacular and highly rated 2024 presidential debate, where Joe was not exactly performing to the highest level of debate standards. She said that she thought he was having a stroke and various other really bad things, and yet never rushed onto the stage to help her husband, never rushed onto the stage to help her troubled husband, as any good wife would do. The only thing she failed, this is this part right here. Sorry, I'm cutting myself off. Listen to this part. The only thing she failed to mention was how well I was doing prior to his near total collapse. In other words, as many have asked, did my strong performance in that debate cause him to plain and simple choke? Blah, 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 blah. So Trump was waiting for Jill Biden to tell CBS News that she thought Joe was having a stroke, and then to follow it up by saying, oh my God, I thought Joe Biden was having a stroke, but you know, Trump was doing really well in that debate, and he was winning, and it was probably the fact that he was doing so well in that debate that that caused my husband to choke. That is what Trump was expecting her to say. Why would she say that? Why would she put out that statement, U.S. President Trump? Okay, what else? Le Goblin Ver was in Sweden. I mentioned this yesterday, and they're putting together some sort of a fighter jet deal with Sweden. And then he had a lunch with the Prime Minister of Sweden outdoors at an outdoor table. And we have the photo of this intimate lunch between Le Goblin Ver and Ulf Kristersson. I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, but what a creepy photo. Creepy. That's how I describe this photo. But I guess... Sharing any meal with Le Goblin Ver is going to eventually turn out to be creepy. But that's another clown world. And finally, sticking on the topic of the Green Goblin, Representative Anna Paulina Luna, she blasted Zelensky for demanding U.S. missiles, sending a letter to Congress and to U.S. President Trump, demanding that the U.S. hand over interceptors, whatever they've got, to hand it over to Ukraine because of the one Russian strike into Kiev. And Luna's response to Le Goblin Ver was, and I quote, "We are not your piggy bank." Well, tell that to Zelensky. You did tell that to Zelensky, so you have told this to Zelensky. We're not your piggy bank. Probably the first time that Zelensky has heard this. I'm not your piggy bank? You're not my piggy bank? What? Podolyak, what is this? What is this lady saying? U.S. not my piggy bank? What is this crazy talk, Podolyak? I don't know, Mr. President. The whole world is crumbling. Everything's falling apart, Mr. President. Anyway, that's the video. I'll end it there. DeDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on, We're on Telegram. We're also on Substack. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. All those links are in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. What is in here? The secret garden. Is this a secret garden? Let's find out. Oh, beautiful. Very nice. All right. That's it for me. Take care.